It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Trevor Woods here from SB Nation's Mason Brew with another getting to know Michigan's opponent. Michigan's opponent this week is UConn, a team who was 1-11 last season but already has a win under the belt this season under head coach Jim Mora Jr. Today with me, he writes for the Daily Campus, which is UConn's student newspaper. Here with me is Cole Steffen. How are we doing, Cole?
We're doing great, Trevor. How are you?
Hey, I couldn't be better, and this matchup kind of interests me. Last week, Michigan played a team in Hawaii that there wasn't a lot of guys you could point to and say, hey, you know, they could have a chance at being on an NFL roster. UConn, I feel, they do have some players. How's the Jim Mora era gone so far? What do you think of him as the head guy?
I honestly think he's done a better job than last year's head coach, Randy Edsall. That's the basis of it. Since he's come to the program, like, he was hired in November after Edsall left the program. And what he did was he really changed the program around. The first game he ever went to for UConn football was as, like, a visitor, you could say, at the UConn-Clemson game last year at Death Valley. And right then and there, he was starting to recruit people. So come, like, the spring, like, it's the winter. I'm taking my second semester of top classes, and I really start to see this new mantra. It's called the Husky Revolution, and that's what he's been using this whole time. This has been, like, Mora's master plan for, I'd say, since, like February or even earlier, maybe January. But he's used that as the basis, as a jump line. He wants to change this team culture around. And he made that pretty clear when he brought the spring game back to campus at our soccer stadium, Moroney Stadium. He got a good crowd to show up to that. Our state governor showed up. It was a pretty good time. On top of that, I really think he's shown it in practice. I thought it would just be all media hype about the revolution and, like, getting all these big-name recruits, or at least what we think are big-name recruits. But it's shown in practice. Like, I know people who work, like, with the team that it shows in practice, and no other example of that was present more than in the Utah State game when we, the Huskies, scored on our very first drive of the season. And I honestly thought this was going to be a different team. Sure, we ended up losing that game, but we actually put up a very competitive fight, losing only by 11 to a team that received, at the time, AP votes. So I guess you could say the Mora era is going very well.
Who would you say are some of the players to watch out for on offense? Offense, you have a quarterback in Zion Turner who's been up and down to start the year, but that's to be expected from a freshman quarterback. And Mora Jr. this week says that UConn, they're committed to Turner, and, you know, there's going to be growing pains, but Turner also said this week that he's getting better. And it doesn't hurt that he has a sub 4.4 40-yard dash running back in Nathan Carter. Aaron Turner, he's averaging 14 yards per reception this season. What do you think of the dynamic of Turner, Carter, and the other Turner in the UConn offense, and how have they been gelling so far?
Well, Aaron Turner's mentioned in the past that him and Zion Turner are gelling very well. You could kind of see when Zion Turner threw a 56-yard touchdown pass to Aaron Turner last week. But I think the whole gist is, yeah, you mentioned it, Zion Turner's going to have some growing pains. We literally threw him in the fire against Utah State because our original starting quarterback was Kaquan Rovers, and he went down in the second drive of the season against Utah State. But I really think Zion Turner's shown himself. I mean, don't let his numbers deceive you for a second. Jim Morris said a bunch of times that he's a proven winner at his former academy, St. Thomas Aquinas in Fort Lauderdale. And although this isn't as much of a winning program as you would think it is, he really he's going to take some big steps. There will be some times where he looks like a freshman, a first year, a true freshman, but there will be other times where he looks like he could be a third year starter just from the way he's performed. Yeah, his best performance may have come against an FCS school in CCSU, but he actually does look pretty consistent with his throw sometimes. Yeah. If anything with Turner, Zion, obviously, not to get confused with Aaron, if he can, like, take that time to read the play, then I really think that could help him take him to the next level. And I'll also speak on the topic of Aaron Turner as well. Aaron Turner has pretty much become our number one wide receiver with the absences of Keelan Marion in the first game of the season and Camp Ross. In addition to him, we also have Nigel Fitzgerald and Kevin Sclarcius, and the three of them combined are supposed to be our big three receivers, plus our tight ends. But Aaron Turner is someone whose speed is incredibly underrated. Yeah, he had that 56-yard touchdown wreck. He got most of that on his own legs. He literally, like, dashed into the end zone. And there was another play against CCSU where he really showed, like, his athletic abilities. Like, it was, I think, a 3rd-and-17 and 3rd-and-19, and it was Aaron Turner. He was given the ball from Zion, and he just took it for a first down. So you mentioned it with also Nathan Carter, a running back, but it's all about speed with guys like Aaron Turner. Yeah, that defines the modern wide receiver today, but with the right amount of development, Aaron Turner could be one of those guys. Finally, also speak on Nathan Carter, who's top three in rushing yards. He had a very good game against Utah State, and he also put up another great performance against CCSU. Sure, he only put up 71 yards against Syracuse, but he's got skill, he's got speed. Now, my big thing about the running game is we're going to have a little hole. Like, we were relying on Brian Bruton to be our backup running back, but he's now lost for the season. So now we're relying on Devontae Houston, who put up his best game against Syracuse last week. And after that, we have a true freshman, Victor Rosa. So the offense is in a bunch of places right now, but our main focus is our run game.
Yeah, and last week, Michigan, they played Hawaii, and Michigan played very well against Hawaii, but there was one long run from a speedster running back of Hawaii. So that's something, as far as Michigan's concerned with this week, to get better at. It would be containing some speedsters. Don't give up a 70-yard big play strike. Now, on the other side of the ball for UConn, there has been one linebacker who has been lights out to start the season. It's as simple as that. When you just play a few games and you're already up to 39 tackles on the season with a forced fumble and a fumble recovery, that's pretty impressive stuff. Always getting in the backfield. Jackson Mitchell, could you talk a little bit about him?
Yeah, he's a true Connecticut product. He's from Richfield, Connecticut, which is within, like, I think a 70-minute drive from here, from UConn. But, like, he was really impressive. I honestly would not be surprised if he goes on the second day of the draft next year. But yeah, Jackson Mitchell could easily have another career year. He's already gone beyond his career high in sacks. He had one career high was one last year, and he has 1.5 this year. But Jackson Mitchell is like that guy on defense. He's the anchor. He has 39 tackles, like you said. He's third in the, he's actually top in the country in 3 games. But you also have to understand he had 2 games where he had 16 tackles. That matches his career high. He can be a force in that defense, and that's something offensive linemen have to look out for. I also mentioned it, but like that defense cannot be Jackson Mitchell alone. He has no interceptions, but that's perfectly okay. He's a linebacker. There's also Ian Swenson in that backfield, and he's second on the team in tackles. But if you have to ask overall who that star defensive player was, it's Jackson Mitchell.
You wrote another really good article, Cole, and you went into a deep dive of University of Michigan athletics through the ages, and the title, and you can find this on the Daily Campus, dailycampus.com, and it's a column, Michigan Pain and the Decade of Suffering. You want to talk about the research you accumulated for that article, and what's your thoughts on the programs, all of them meshed into, you know, one brand, I guess you could say, because you covered hockey, basketball, football, and other stuff in the article.
All right, so I want to start with the basis of the column, the title of the column, and, like, you can just tell right away where it comes from, the origin of that. But let's just dive into this week's column, which indeed was on the decade plus of suffering that the state of Michigan, notably the University of Michigan Wolverines, have experienced. I wanted to write this article because I've been noticing it for at least the last 5 years. Just, I like have a bunch of teams that I closet root for, and Michigan just so happens to be one of them. And I've noticed over the years that they have had a bunch of moments where their hearts just break. And I wanted to at least highlight this. And the timing's perfect because UConn obviously plays Michigan this week, and I wanted to do it then. So I just went into the details. I already knew that the football program had their history of pain. Yeah, losing the CFP last year to Georgia was bad, but it wasn't as bad as some other moments, as I mentioned in the article. So I'll mention some of those now. There was the... I wasn't sure how this started, but then I realized that the perfect reason that we've seen Michigan sport the way they are now is because of the 2007 game when Michigan lost to Appalachian State at home. And that's how I started. I also go through the highlights of how Ohio State has been the big brother of Michigan, and also how Michigan has some bad luck, and it seems like Michigan State. I will say, though, this season you guys put up last year in football with that defense was pretty damn good. Like, you guys were just dominant. Yeah, I'm so glad to see you guys win the Big Ten, and it's great to see you guys win the CFP. Yeah, you guys had no answer for Georgia, but that was a fun season.
And mentioning Michigan State, the trouble with the snap. So, yeah, there's been so much heartbreaks through the years, and one of them was last year during a season in which, like you said, Michigan, they beat Ohio State, they go to the college football playoff, and you're completely correct in your analysis that the loss in the college football playoff to Georgia, it wasn't as painful as some of the others, and you could feel that on the team. They were upset, but I would contend that game they lost last season when they were up more than 2 touchdowns against those Spartans stung more, but it also propelled them the rest of the way, and then they went on a run in November and ended up beating Ohio State. So it's kind of cool, Cole, that you closet root for the Wolverines. Now, back to the game at hand on Saturday, do you have any predictions?
Okay, so if this weren't last year's UConn team, I honestly think they would. So I'll start with this. We lost to Clemson last year 44-7 after taking a kickoff return for touchdown to start the game. I don't expect the score to be like that for Michigan. This is a completely different team. If this were Edsel's team, we'd probably lose 60-0, and it's in a stadium that's probably going to sell out again. But with a team like the one that Jim Moore has constructed, I honestly think we're going to score one, if not 2 touchdowns. I don't expect this to win the game. That's an overstatement. You guys are literally the number 4 team in the country. No way. But if, in all honesty, I think we're probably going to score 1 to 2 touchdowns. I don't know if it's going to happen in garbage time or literally on the first kickoff of the game. If so, so be it. But in the end, I honestly think Michigan's going to come out on top of this one. They're going to make a statement, and they're going to show to the rest of the college football. By a score, I'll just ballpark it. I'll say 59-14. I'm not sure how many touchdowns or field goals are going to be for the Wolverines. And mind you, there might be some safeties, depending on what happens with Zion Turner at the offensive line. But I honestly expect Michigan to make a big statement this week in their 3rd or 4 home games to start the season.
Well, you know, the main thing for a program like UConn, after a year like they had last year, like we previously stated, 1-11, it's all about gradual improvement throughout the season, right? So against Utah State, week 1, they lose 31-20. Obviously not what you want, but a closely fought game. Turner had a big day himself, and then a big win, 25-point win against Central Connecticut. Obviously, last week, you could say a step back, 48-14 loss to Syracuse. But now, for UConn, they come to Michigan, and it's going to be a blowout, more than likely, as you alluded to. But it could maybe help propel them for a decent NC State team the next week, and then against Fresno State, Florida International, and the rest of the guys down their schedule. And I find it to be an interesting game on Saturday, Cole. I mean, you have Jim Mora Jr., a former NFL coach. Kind of interesting construct, you know, a guy like that all these years later now coaching UConn after a season like last year. And somebody, Mora Jr., knows well from the NFL days in Harbaugh. So do you also find that coaching matchup interesting? Because Mora Jr., he had some good things to say about Harbaugh and the Michigan team this week.
That coaching matchup is going to be slightly underrated. Mind you, both teams have been to the NFC Championship. Well, both coaches, I should start with that. Both teams are not in the NFL. both coaches have been to the NFC Championship game. Jim Mora went with the Falcons in 2004, only to lose to the Eagles, while Jim Harbaugh took his team to a Super Bowl loss to the Ravens in a game where there was a blackout at halftime. I honestly wasn't considering the coaching matchup when I was writing the preview, but it honestly could be something like who's gotten the better wits. I don't think if I'm actually correct that one was an assistant under the other.
No.
You know they both coached at some point, coached the Niners. But this could be like a tactical warfare, if anything.
Oh, no doubt. Well, hey, Cole, thank you for the insight, and I'm sure our listeners and Michigan fans from across the nation appreciate. So thank you. Thank you to Cole Steffen of the Daily Campus. You can find his work on dailycampus.com. And I'd like to thank all of our listeners for tuning in. And you can follow me on Twitter at WoodsFootball. Follow us at MaizeAndBrew. And subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Have a good one, folks.